Yeah, good to hear that Roy Mahamud is still playing as if he's a teenager. Why not get back at 43? He's still very young. 43, please come back, Roy. Roy of the Rovers. And that is why tonight we're going to be shining the spotlight on a man whose coaching journey has taken him from the touchlines of Amajita to global corridors of FIFA. A tactician, I'm talking here about a mentor, a visionary. I mean, he now carries the torch as a FIFA talent development scheme coach, working alongside none other than Arsene Wenger to unearth the next generation of football brilliance. Now, from CONCACAF triumphs to World Cup campaigns, I mean, his fingerprints are etched pretty much deep into the fabric of South African youth football legacy. And now he returns, though, to home soil, not just to reflect, but to ignite. And that is why tomorrow the 2025 Engine Knockout Challenge is going to be landing in East London, you know, proving ground for many people, as you know, for tomorrow's stars. And who better to help launch it than a man who's walked the path from grassroots to greatness, Coach Thabo Senong. Well, he joins us to unpack his new global role, his bold vision for development, and why the Eastern Cape might just be the next frontier for South African football excellence. Coach, long time no see. Good to have you in studio. Welcome.
Evening, Rob, to you and the viewers and the listeners. And of course, I see your crew. What a beautiful place here. I'm so happy to be at MSW.
Oh, man. We've been waiting for this moment here because, I mean, you've been so busy. It's been so difficult to pin you down. Yeah. How are you feeling about things that have happened in and around your world, you know, maybe journeys that at some point you might not even have planned for?
Yeah, no, a lot has happened, Rob, and I'm grateful, I must say, because, you know, when we get into coaching, there's a huge pathway and big possibilities and many options for coaches to develop. And hence, I'm actually happy to be here at your show because I'm talking to you, but I'm also talking to aspiring coaches all over the country as well who are listening to this wonderful show. So, I mean, having gone through the youth structures of elite academies around the country, be it the Ambas, Orlando Pirates, Mamelodi Sundowns, and then getting an opportunity to serve the national teams always gives you perspectives and experience to be able to look at the game universally, globally, and get to be able to network with other federations and maybe other ambitious member associations of CAF and FIFA. And that's why today I find myself in the beautiful land of Malawi as one of the FIFA talent coaches who's working under the Talent Development Scheme project, which it's a very simple project, Rob. It's just purely about getting the best young talents around the country and centralize them into one center, train the best with the best, give them enough contact time, and give them competition as well to grow. So that's what I've been busy with, Rob.
Sure. Maybe you're the good luck charm that Banyana needed, because as you open your mouth, Banyana scored. So I can proudly tell you that South Africa, after 28 minutes, have scored against Ghana in the WAFCON. So yeah, I'll confirm for you who the goal scorer was. It was off a penalty. It does look like it's Linda Mutlalo. So, yeah. So here we go. Good positive start to the interview there. I mean, we wish them the best. We'll keep you updated with everything that happens here. So the opportunity as well, which we would highlight and say, I mean, we see him every single day. He's at the FIFA Club World Cup. Arsene Wenger and the kind of work that he does on a global scale. How did it come about, though, that you ended up having to work with and alongside somebody as great as him?
Yeah, I thought the FIFA TDS program is about helping federations to reach their potential, yeah. Robert. And, you know, we know that some federations are very progressive. You look at the likes of Morocco, Egypt, South Africa to some extent. South Africa is also one of those progressive ones. But you also find some federations that still need support, still need backup, whether it's in Liberia, Tanzania, Lesotho, Malawi. So FIFA had decided to say, let's come up with ideas to bring in experts who have worked in various national teams, whether be it coach education or national team coaching, just to come and share perspectives, to come and accelerate coach education, knowledge exchange, and how things are done in other parts of the world. So I was also just identified as one of those coaches that has helped SAFA to reach its potential, because having served SAFA in different structures, having attended lots of tournaments with SAFA, obviously it allows one to be able to contribute a lot and help SAFA going forward to reach its potential, to achieve its target as a footballing nation. And hence I find myself in Malawi, because FIFA felt that I could be the right person. Of course, the selection criteria, it's very tough. The interview processes are also not easy, Robert, you know. And but it's purely about looking for people who are passionate, people who are passionate about coach education. Sometimes you have to work with coaches, share knowledge, develop coaches, work as an instructor. Sometimes you have to support national teams as a technical consultant, maybe just to share tactical reflections. Sometimes you have to go around the country and scout talents and make sure that you design a blueprint that will help us not to be biased when we identify talents, you know. So, and yeah, I have to say I'm grateful, but I also have to thank the Malawi Federation for giving me an opportunity. They have a progressive president, Mr. Fleetwood Ahia, who's really passionate about youth development to make sure that they transform their game in Malawi. I have to thank FIFA as well for identifying me to say, probably with your background experience, maybe also your passion, you could be the one to go. And it's been 7 months now, Rob. And yeah, it's been 7 months. Time flies. And so far, things are going very well. I see progress in our group of girls and also in our group of boys. So, of course, development is a process, but we just have to keep going, supporting their pathway going forward.
And how long is that particular contract of yours with Malawi?
So basically, the contract runs with FIFA, not necessarily the MA itself. And it's normally one-year contracts, Rob, so that they allow all parties, the MA, FIFA themselves, and even coaches to see if you still want to continue, because you know how football, the evolution, the movements, opportunities, you know. So because sometimes we get coaches being part of programs and then they get into performance coaching, maybe moving from development coaching. There's also other positions and opportunities within FIFA. So you can go into the high performance department. You can go into the coach education department. You can go into the TDS department, which is where I'm working currently. So it always runs with 12 months so that they can be able to evaluate and assess.
The reason why, and I ask this for very selfish reasons, and forgive me for asking that. I've always foreseen a situation where a Thabo Senong can step into a very important role. And I heard you mention SAFA. I heard you mention the blueprint quite a few times. Yeah. But I also see that there is that opportunity, you know, with Walter Steenbock stepping out of that position to become a technical director within the structures of SAFA. Is that something you've thought about? Is that something that you would want to work towards, whether now or at a later stage?
Yeah, first, I would say it's not a selfish question, Robert. You are right to ask that question. And there are a lot of possibilities. I think I'm passionate about coaching, and especially performance coaching. You know, some coaches call it 3 points football, you know. And, yeah, but performance coaching is very interesting. I see myself going that line, because I had spent quite a long time with the Federation at SAFA, Robert, if you remember. I started with SAFA around 2013. I left SAFA 2019. So that's more than 5 years. And when I moved, I was grateful because I needed to be on the ground more. So I think at my stage, where I am now, I would want to spend more time on the pitch, conducting sessions, having everyday problems, you know, tactical problems, because, yes, you know, with national team football, whether you are a national coach or you are a technical director, it's a very good job, high profile job. But I just think It's a combination of admin, logistics, and technical direction to make sure that you help the federation to reach its targets. But I think one would appreciate the pressure of going onto the pitch and working with players every day and working in a club high performance environment. I think so.
So that's the direction that you definitely really want to smell that grass on a daily basis. Okay. So are you dropping a hint or two in terms of where possibly, because I mean, 7 months in Malawi, that's closer to the end than the beginning. You know, PSL is a space that you've been in, but you've also been outside of the Premier Soccer League here in South Africa. So, I mean, I don't know what really quenches your thirst. We've seen coaches head off to North Africa and they've done pretty well. You know, obviously the politics of football, especially in the North African region, is such that it doesn't matter what you win, chances are you're going to be fired.
Yeah, Rob, we have to admit and be honest that South Africa is one of the factories that produces excellent coaches for the continent. You can start from the likes of Coach Pizzo, come to Coach Rulane, Fadlu David. So it's a whole lot because of our coach education is very strong, and credit to SAFA and all the people who have been heading the coach education. So we've got, and also the institutions and universities that are supporting our coach education. So there's many possibilities for South African coaches outside South Africa, and which makes it very possible for all of us to always look inside Ekaya and also outside, you know. I mean, I've been in Tanzania, I've been in Lesotho, Malawi. Tanzania League, it's still in the top 10, within the best 10 leagues in the continent. The other countries are getting competitive as well, you know. The league in Libya is getting well. Mauritania Premier League is getting more competitive. You know, there are clubs that are really taking care of football seriously due to changes in club licensing, due to the incentives that are now in CAF Confed, in CAF Champions League. So definitely, I would always look around the continent. But also, back home, it becomes very doable because, you know, when we work at home, the dynamics to adapt are not as challenging as you compare them with coaching outside your country. So I'm looking forward in future just to see how it's going to go. But we just have to wait and see.
All right, so another quick score update, though. It looks like South Africa having a good first half. They have taken the lead, stretched it a little bit more in the 34th minute. The lady who was said to retire straight after this tournament when the WAFCON is done, Jermaine Seposinwe, she managed to score in the 34th minute. The 31-year-old, as I say, who has made it very public, the fact that this will be her final WAFCON. And off to retirement she goes. But, geez, the class that she possesses, the ability on the ball that she possesses. And I think playing, like you say, coach, in foreign land has really made a lot of these players to become such superstars. The two ladies that have scored here in Linda as well as Jermaine, again, showing the class. And that is why they play for these top international teams.
Yeah, exactly. It's due to the education that they are getting abroad just to maximize their talents, and credit for them to making sure that they work hard.
Yeah.
To make sure, because we need to export players. But generally, the WAFCON tournament, I watched some games yesterday.
Yeah.
The standard has really improved. I watched Nigeria scoring 3 goals. I watched Senegal scoring 3 goals against DR Congo. So you could see that exporting a lot of female players to European clubs, to Saudi Arabia, to Asia, in China, has really accelerated the quality of women's football in the continent.
All right. And also just look out for the game at 9 o'clock. Mali are going to be taking on Tanzania, a country that Coach Sanong was just chatting about a short while ago.
And Rob, and good evening to Coach Thabo Sinong. Coach, I was a little bit disappointed when you transitioned from youth development coaching to senior football coaching, because for me, I believe you are one of the best youth development coaches, together with the likes of Kwanele Kopo, Godfrey Musuetsa, Vela Khumalo, and many more youth development development coaches that we have in this country, and because you also managed to qualify us for an international tournament. But I just want to find out from you, coach, with you being privy to development technical reports at CAF level, what is it that CAF is doing to bridge the gap between the number of competition and competitive football that is played in Africa in relation to Europe, so that we can bridge the gap and allow and enable these youngsters to have enough competitive matches on their legs when they transition in their careers? Thank you so much, Tebogo.
Tebogo, thank you so much indeed. We'll take that question and look forward to that answer after the break.
Hashtag MSW live on 947 Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW. Previously on Marawa Sports Worldwide.
She is the queen. It is Gerda Steyn again.
The one and only Gerda Steyn, ladies and gentlemen.
She's become such an influential figure in South African sports. To start running at, I think, the age of 24 and to have achieved everything that she has, you know, it shows that you can start things late in life and you can still become incredibly good at something. You can become the best in the world at something.
Wesley Button, thank you so much indeed. It's beautiful tribute.
Oh, thank you so much. It really makes my heart feel warm hearing that.
Gerda, the smiling assassin, thank you. My inspiration.
She used that nickname, you know, the smiling assassin, because that's how you kind of disarm people.
I got the nickname and it just kind of stuck, but I'm pleased also that I am associated with a smile.
Well, if possible, that smile is getting even wider as she grabs the message.
Hashtag MSW.
Hashtag MSW.
Not your ordinary Monday. It's Reaction Monday. Hashtag MSW.
Roberto, my weekend highlight, oh gosh. Diamond League, Faith Kipyegon, oh gosh. She's out of this world. God, that woman, oh Lord. Record breaker. She broke her own record. She was, what a weekend.
Very good evening, Mr. Marawa. This is Anonymous. Just want to shout out to Mr. Thabo Sinon. Hey, this man has been in football, guys. If you can recall, the Pirates team then won the Night Cup and they played the final against the Mexico team. He was assistant coach there to Augusto Palacios. Worked incredibly well with the Diambas, under 20 national team coach. Thabo Sinon, we all knew you when you assisted by to Mr. Sheikhs Ifrad Mashab. And I wish you can come back to football. I wish you the very well and all the best.
Hey, the call to come back to football, wishing you all the best, but you're still in football. I just think for a lot of our, you know, the listeners and the viewers here, it's a case of not being visible. That makes a big difference, doesn't it?
It does. It does, Robert. And I think the call is just for the there are words of encouragement, and they should be aware that I'm still part of football and I'm still fully involved in football. Of course, maybe saving another country, and that's what happens. It's the nature of our profession, Robert. It's the nature of our job. We have to move around the world. Sure. We have to work. We have to serve.
And I know the question that came through there from Deboko just before the break, and he was talking about the technical reports that you've been compiling around the continent as well, saying that, talking about the number of competitions in Africa versus those that are in Europe, and what needs to be done. I'm sure you understood that, and you're kind of looking forward to an answer from you, whether there's, you know, there's something that has been done practically in terms of studies, you know, from a technical perspective and all the reports you've compiled. What's your view on that?
Excellent question from Utebukh, Robert. And, you know, if you look at senior football, CAF has made sure that there are enough competitions that are played. You look at the CAF Champions League and the CAF Confederation Cup. However, to answer his question, I'll also just go to youth football as well, that CAF could do better in terms of making sure that they accelerate elite talents like reserve youth team football. Because if you have leagues like the Diski League in South Africa, you could also have a Champions League match where a Mamelodi Sundowns reserve team is playing against Mamelodi Sundowns pyramid team. You know, for me, that has always been my issue to say, when will we see? Because that's what you see in the UEFA Youth Champions League, where you see an under-19 team from Borussia Dortmund playing against an under-19 team at Real Madrid. So for me, if we can also make sure that our young talents around the continent, they play out of their comfort. Because when talent is stimulated out of its comfort, it grows faster. Can you imagine if Umofokeng, before he plays for Pirates, he would have played for Orlando Pirates, Disc team, and then Reserve Team Champions League football. So the number of minutes he could have accumulated internationally could have even accelerated him further when you look at his natural talents and the exposure as well to be scouted around the continent. And lastly, Butebuho's question. When Champions League, whoever wins Champions League or who does well, be it Inzaghi at Inter Milan, UEFA will always make a UEFA conversion to make sure that the coaches that really did well in this tournament, your Henriques at PSG, let's have a knowledge exchange, Indaba conversion, whereby they share their ideas. How was their pre-season? How did they incorporate analysis and sports science? So we don't have that. We have Pyramid have just won. Would love to see and learn, you know, Robert, how did he start the team? How did he really inspire the team tactically to be so so good and so fit, you know? And we also have to look at teams that went to Confed. Mm-hmm. Coach Fadlu Davis did some excellent work with Simba, you know, to go all the way to play the final. I'm sure there is something interesting as a technician like himself to share to all the aspiring coaches around the continent. So knowledge has to be exchanged. I think CAF has to create those kind of platforms going forward. Knowledge exchange and also making sure that there's a better reserve team international tournament, mm-hmm. to make sure that the best gets to play with the best at elite development level.
But I can't leave out something we mentioned at the top of the show, the engine knockout challenge, which is something that's been very close to your heart. And when you start to see the emergence of players that have been scouted there improve themselves, I mean, I can even go and say that the bulk of them, especially within the past year, we look at them now and they're African champions. I mean, how does that sit with you and what does it say about competitions like the engine one?
Yeah, it's what I said initially, Robert, when we started, that South Africa is a country because of the activities, the programs, the academy leagues that are going on, like the Gauteng Development League. South Africa has been progressive because of the support that it's getting from corporate South Africa. And Engine has always been loyal and committed to youth football. For the past 20 years, we've always had an annual tournament, Engine tournament. And for now, it's now both female footballers and men's footballers. And it has really produced a lot of players because it accelerates the talent. The best gets to play with the best. And national team coaches get to scout talent in a centralized venue as well. You know, so that's why I would always say that the Engine tournament has played a massive role to produce a lot of players. The Sipombules, the Teboho Mokoenas, they used to play the Engine tournament back in the Free State for Harmony Academy. And also they were part of the Super Sport Academy. And they played the same tournament. But you look at the current Amajita team now, who are African champions. We have the captain from Stellenbosch, Tylon Smith, Shaquille April, Cape Town City Boys. So we have a lot of players. Kutlwano Ditlhaku from Mamelodi Sundowns. He was playing Engine last year as well. He played the Engine tournament, and now they are in an international tournament. So, in short, Robert, youth talent only get accelerated when there is also competition to help them assess themselves, to help them reflect, and also the coaches to also get to meet the other coaches, you know, because... and now there's also an exciting one, Champ of Champs. A champion from Gauteng gets to meet a champion from KZN. A champion from Cape Town has to meet a captain from another province. And so again, it helped the national coaches to see talent at the national playing platform. So we have to be grateful. And I'm also grateful because I was also part of Engine as a coach when we started initially.
Yeah.
I was coaching Orlando Pirates under 17. We won it. Brighton Mhlongo was one of our goalkeepers. So the likes of football coach Arthur Zwane, Kwanele Kopo, you know, they've all been part of the tournament. So it produces aspiring referees, aspiring coaches, aspiring footballers.
And I know a lot of coaches go there. Some even hide in the crowds there because they're there to scout for players for their respective teams. I know coaches like Gavin Hunt, who would make no bones exactly about wanting to go exactly to the Engine tournament. He's just like, you know what, it's part of my calendar.
Yes.
I have to go.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's not just like a choice that he decides, ah, I'm bored, I want to go there. He makes it part of his DNA to go and scout. I'm getting lots of messages that are coming through for you, coach. Here's one that says, you know, thank you for inviting one of the coaches who is resourceful and always willing to give you refreshing perspectives in our administrative role. You will always need a caliber of Thabo around your circle. I am grateful that he's always available to bounce technical expertise as well as knowledge. That's from the man who's just appointed, Kwanele Kopo, you know, Brad Kenneth. So that's a message there, you know, that he sent through just for you to absorb. Yeah. So great to know. Great to know. Let me get more of your WhatsApp voice notes.
Good evening, Rob. Good evening to MSW listeners. This is Lawrence from Protea Glen. Thank you, Thabo Senong, for gracing us with your presence and the intellectual that you are. I think it's that's why people missed you, is that you were not visible. And I concur with Teboho on that. We need you in the Premier League. We need you in PSL, if not in PSL, in the SAFA ranks. Rob, just have a question for coach. If you were to change the landscape of football in South Africa, especially the PSL, what would you change? And given your experience, would you advise or run for the chairmanship of the PSL or the CEO of PSL? Would you consider that option if it arises? Thank you, Rob. Great show as always.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that, coach.
Yeah, thank you so much for the warm words. And yeah, an interesting question, tough one. I think commercially, we have to accept and be grateful that the league is in a very good, a solid position. Our league is one of the best in Africa. And we have to thank Dr. Khoza and the staff members just around, you know, who are making sure that that league becomes a success. And maybe what we just need technically for all the clubs, we need to win the CAF Champions League. You know, if you look at the quality of our teams, the quality, and that should not be the responsibility of only Mamelodi Sundowns, but teams like your Kaizer Chiefs, Orlando Pirates, they have to come to party just to make sure that they close that gap between the North African teams, you know, the desire they have to really win this trophy. We just need to close that gap and make sure that one of our teams win it. And I mean, the last time when we won it, Rob, was 2016. It was Mamelodi Sundowns. Kudos to coach Peter Mosima and his technical staff. But Robert, I've got a slight concern. There's just a lot of pre-seasons that are happening abroad.
Yeah.
With our respective elite teams, you know, it's Spain, it's Netherlands, and when I reverse back, Mamelodi Sundowns, when they won it, part of their preseason was in Zambia, you know, and I remember, just out of curiosity, what was the reason, you know, and one of the reasons was team building, making sure that players are focused out of their comfort zone, but also just developing that mental muscle a little bit, you know, because if you go out of South Africa, you go into other parts of Africa, they are not as fortunate as South Africa, you know. Even the weather, sometimes it can be very hot, a little bit uncomfortable. Sometimes when you prepare a team, when you prepare players, the mental muscle is the most important component that is going to influence the performance going forward. You know, because I always just observe when the teams are going abroad, are they out of their comfort? You know, I'm sure they are playing tactically. I think they are, because they are getting tested against very good tactical teams. But, you know, to build an athlete, you know, you always need to strike a balance of comfort, discomfort, comfort, discomfort. So for me, that is just one thing that I'm just a little bit curious of, because would love to see our teams really dominating the CAF space, because commercially, we are the best league in the continent. Technically, we have the best technocrats in our country. And but our players, they need to be stimulated with toughness. And that just goes to Ukpresto Mama activities, you know.
So what to do on the continent? I think you raise a very important point, because even last season, Kaizer Chiefs went to Turkey for their preseason. Was that advantageous to them or not? Well, they missed out on the top eight yet again. So is it? Are European conditions favorable for clubs that are playing in South Africa? Yes, it might be winter, but like you rightfully say, so if you are going to be competing in either the CAF Confed or the CAF Champions League, are you adapting well to the travel, to the conditions, to the hotels, to the background that Africa has to present itself? So maybe I think we found a perfect point, maybe when we do have a conversation again, Coach Taba, to pick it up from there, you know, challenge the reasons why certain clubs will go to a Netherlands for preseason, or Spain, you know, for preseason. We thought maybe it's because of the Spanish guitar last season, because that's where he's from and he's able to make those arrangements. But it looks like they found a consistency in the kind of opposition that they want to play against. So, wow, I mean, that's... Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the Eastern Cape and so on. So you, now you know, there's a lot more we need to unpack before you go on your other mission to other parts of the world that we do need to talk about. Because I look at Eastern Cape and I see it as the next potential footballing hotspot in South Africa. And I just wanted to unpack some of those reasons. Maybe just a final word, literally nice and short, on anything that we might have left out.
No, I think, Robert, thanks a lot for the opportunity. And I'm here. I'm at home. I'll just be going around also attending the Engine Tournament because I'm not only passionate about football, but I believe that the youth is the future. We always want to see who's the next one.
100%.
Who's the next Benny McCarthy, you know. So, yes, we'll be in East London and making sure that the tournament gets launched.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to watch the tournament, female footballers. And, you know, for coaches, especially for our youth coaches, they shouldn't use youth coaching to develop their CVs. You know, mm-hmm. they should use youth coaching to systematically develop players and allow players to grow without any pressure, because there's a biggest trend whereby our youth coaches are really sometimes fast-tracking their CVs, and then it becomes a win at all cost at development level. So at development level, sometimes players have to play under less pressure.
And allow them to make mistakes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Then they'll be more creative, artistic. And but we are looking forward, and we thank Engine, you know, for creating this platform for players.
For so many years.
Enjoy the moment.
Oh, for so many years. And yeah, well done indeed. All right, we got to disappear. FIFA talent coach there, Thabo Sonong. Thank you so much indeed, man. Very eye-opening conversation that we've just had with him. Join us again tomorrow for Marawa Sports Worldwide.
Hashtag MSW live on 947 Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live.
Every the same time you come around. Time.